This is part two of a four-part series. One prisoner in a Holmesburg chemical study, quote, attempted to do bodily harm to his cell partner, end quote. This chemical was one of many that was reported by prisoners, researchers, and guards to change the way they thought and acted, and disassociated the test subjects from reality. During this era of MKUltra, the U.S. Army contracted universities to conduct mind control experiments using untested drugs that required special facilities, and three trailers made up to be padded cells were installed in the Holmesburg prison yard. Once Kligman was told that he needed to upgrade his facilities and staff to receive better Army contracts, he had the trailers constructed immediately, but didn't hire appropriate staff. In 1966, 15 years into the Holmesburg experiments, records report that after a screening of 3,000 inmates, 148 were chosen for the U.S. Army chemical testing programs, under the direction of Albert Kligman. Testing 1G, 1J, scopolamine, atropine, EA-3167, Ditran, and other chemicals to find out in what way humans would lose their mind when exposed to these drugs. First-hand testimony reveals the symptoms as, quote, hallucinations, unconsciousness, walls and ceilings drifted away, the walls seemed to be breathing, end quote. The U.S. Army program at Holmesburg Prison did not end at one test. After the chemical compound EA-3167 was accidentally injected into two researchers and they experienced a delirium that lasted for months, testing by the Army for EA-3167 as a potential weapon was conducted on prisoners at Holmesburg that had at least 6 months of their sentence remaining to ensure adequate follow-up testing. Many inmates were given dosages ranging from 2.4 to 3.4 picograms, and the reactions were varied. Some prisoners appeared relatively unaffected, while others remained delirious for up to 2 weeks. One subject required continuous doses of physostigmine to prevent episodes of, quote, confused and uncooperative behavior, end quote. Hallucinations were common with almost half the group, and cognitive performance was, quote, clearly impaired in most subjects, end quote. The effects of the amount of EA-3167 injected into prisoners lasted from a minimum of 2 days up to 3 weeks. Once the experiment was completed, a report on the effects of EA-3167 was criticized, since many results were inconsistent depending on the attending researcher, and there was a high turnover rate among the researchers, as well as a delay in obtaining a psychologist who would have been qualified to determine the effects of the drug. The researchers also concluded that since the test subjects were prisoners, it was difficult to distinguish the effects of the drug from the personality of the prisoners themselves as a marginal population. But it was known that EA-3167 was extremely long-lasting and extremely potent, causing, quote, irritability, memory impairment, insomnia, blurred vision, and difficulty concentrating, end quote. Six contracts to the University of Pennsylvania were awarded by the U.S. Army, all concerned with the effects of experimental chemicals on human subjects, like the, quote, study of chemical warfare casualties in man, end quote. The fifth and sixth contracts, titled Threshold Doses in Humans and Evaluations of Drugs in Man, identified the test subjects as 320 inmates of Holmesburg Prison, and the experimental substances as 16 test chemicals that interfered with nervous system functions, quote, causing delirium, physical incoordination, blurred vision, inhibition of sweating and salivation, rapid heart rate, elevated blood pressure, increased body temperatures, vomiting, prostration, and stupor or coma. The onset time may be minutes or hours or days, end quote. Besides the University of Pennsylvania, the University of Washington, Baylor, Tulane, Johns Hopkins, New York University, and the universities of Utah and Indiana all accepted money, often hundreds of thousands of dollars, to test drugs developed by the Army on prison inmates trying to post bail or by commissary. Many social workers at the time recommended to prisoners who needed money badly that they could participate in the University of Pennsylvania testing programs that Albert Kligman was running at Holmesburg. Scott Wilson, a social worker, recalls, quote, "Nobody really investigated what the tests were about. Nobody looked into it. The medical personnel walked around in white coats and looked very official and authoritative." End quote. They may have looked authoritative, but the results were often skewed because the test conditions were less than rigorous. There was no psychopharmacologist to draw proper conclusions, and symptoms and effects like pupil dilation were subjectively recorded by different researchers. The U.S. Army was also conducting their own experiments on citizens at the time, including at Edgewood Arsenal and Fort Detrick, and sent researchers to Holmesburg to verify the tests they were contracting universities to conduct on prisoners were run correctly. James Ketchum was not pleased with the quality of work or appropriate credentials and experience of the experimenters at Holmesburg. Lieutenant Colonel Bottiglieri was more direct, saying that the psychological reports from the chemical tests on prisoners were, quote, "pure gibberish, absolutely useless. Nothing but a list of clichés, seemingly pasted together without consideration or coherence, in an attempt to provide a facade of competence and ability. Shoddy and psychologically naive material." End quote. Still, while Edgewood Arsenal and Fort Detrick couldn't directly test and observe free American citizens in similar conditions, prisons had access to thousands of similar subjects with far fewer options. And the U.S. Army continued paying universities and individual doctors like Albert Kligman to give them as much data as possible from as many human experiments as possible. A lot of the prison guards appreciated the tests, saying that it kept the inmates docile since they were getting paid and could access more luxuries from the commissary. They would often threaten a problematic inmate by saying that they would take them off of a test if they didn't start behaving, resulting in the loss of financial compensation for that inmate. Captain Alex Gunin recalls several bizarre tests from his days as a prison guard. Aside from topical lotions, he recalls that burn tests were conducted using what the test subjects called a ray gun that left bad scars deep into the skin and then were treated with different chemicals. In an effort to regrow hair, the back of an inmate's scalp might be surgically removed and transplanted to the front. On another occasion that Gunin believes involved liver biopsies, 7 patients almost died as a result of the test, and no doctors were at the prison at the time to treat them. Despite a lack of responsible, qualified staff, the University of Pennsylvania testing program continued to grow, especially with the money being funneled into those conducting the experiments, the prisons and cities in question, and the prisoners themselves. Because of the multitude of experiments being run, Holmesburg Prison, at one point, had scientific instruments and apparatus that nearby hospitals lacked. The various Holmesburg programs were so advanced that Kligman began looking into new schedules he could experiment with, and discovered that a lot of organizations wanted to know what would happen if humans were dosed with radiation. Kligman was sure that by using the population of Holmesburg Prison, he could find an answer for them.